We are not alone. That's so true. So this month, or actually this year, all of the Centers for Spiritual Living are working with this book, Living the Science of Mind by Ernest Holmes. And it is actually essays that Ernest Holmes, collection of essays that Ernest Holmes originally wrote in 1939 as part of a home study course called Change Your Thinking, Change Your Life. Haven't we heard that before? So these essays are really great, and they're short and to the point and really wonderful. And so I was given one of them to talk about today. And my topic was science, superstition, and common sense. And I added, if you noticed my title, what's your signal? What's your signal? What are you sending out? What are you listening to? What channel are you tuned into? So I'm going to read a little bit that Ernest says here. It seems as though we were born to be superstitious, because we all inherit the legacy of the entire race mind. Freud, the first one to chart the unconscious, said that neurotic thought patterns will repeat themselves with monotonous regularity throughout life unless they are changed. And his contemporary, Carl Jung, added to this thought that we are all subject to the influence of what he called the collective unconscious, which means the sum total of all human emotions from the beginning of time. Ernest Holmes happens to call it the race consciousness, but it's the same thing, the collective unconscious. So superstition, I looked it up in the dictionary. I love the dictionary. I love Googling words. Do you? Superstition is an irrational belief, not based on reason or knowledge, but arising from ignorance and fear. Any blindly accepted belief or notion. So we can be easily fooled, can't we, in life, with superstitions and fears. So I want to say, let's begin today to free ourselves as we explore this subject. Let there be light. Thank you. Ernest goes on to say, there was a time when theology taught that there was a devil, a hell, a limbo, a purgatory, and a paradise. Because ages on end believed this, it created a pattern in the collective unconscious, which influenced everyone. They were born with this idea, and as a matter of fact, he says, this theory has never yet been entirely cleared up, has it? There are countless thousands who still adhere to this superstition. You're going to go to hell, or limbo, or purgatory. And in Science of Mind, we don't believe hell or heaven is a place you go to when you die. It's a state of consciousness. You can be living in heaven right now, and you can be living in hell. It's a choice. And on your paper that you got today, there's a little pink sheet. Does everybody have that? And on the back of it, I'd like us to read this together. Let's read it together aloud. What keeps us in chains and bondage but our beliefs, our superstitions, our fears? Full. Yet freedom is easily achieved, for we are all free to change our and release fears of the future. The present remains the only time, and here is where we make a choice. The power of the mind and the power of choice. Here is where we say yes to love or fear. It's really pretty simple, you know, people. We either give in to our fears or we say yes to love. It's so simple. And yet we forget that. we get distracted by all the stuff that's going on in the outside world. Anybody else distracted? But let's no longer deny the power of our mind to make a choice, to stand up and to affirm what we believe deep in our heart. Even A Course in Miracles, of which I'm a student, says, change but your mind on what you want to see, and all the world must change accordingly. To free the world from every kind of pain is but to change your mind about yourself. We are powerful creators, each one of us, and it begins within. We hear that all the time. It begins within. Our minds are united to the God essence, as light is united to the sun. And we, each of us, are individualized rays of this light. Even in the Bible, it says, in Him we live, move, and have our being. So it's so important to reconnect to that essence of who we truly are, as we did with our heart meditation today. So simple, and yet it reconnects us to that essence of who we are. Ernest, true religion, true science, and true common sense should go hand in hand to get together with that other subtle something, which is the essence of feeling, which is beyond words. It's not always easy, he says, in a world of confusion, superstition, and unbelief, to maintain an independent position in one's own thought, a position based on the common sense that Jesus had, that the universe holds nothing against us, and that the gift of heaven is eternally made, but must be received, and I might add, must be recognized. We have to recognize that we have that inherent God nature, supreme power within us. It's not outside of us. Ah, Ernest. What if we entered every day more fully into this relationship with the divine, with this sacred relationship, with a companion of the infinite? You know, there's a whole different broadcast going on up in that spiritual level. It's just different. It's more expansive, more loving, more compassionate when we tap in, tune in to the divine within us. And I think this transcendent thought should always be with us, and it takes practice. It's like a musician practices. I was a professional dancer my whole life. I had to practice, even when I was still performing. We practice all the time. So it's something we have to cultivate and be determined to stay with. Ernest Holmes says, I love this quote, like Jesus, we should walk over the waves of human disturbance rather than being submerged by them. Hear that again. Because think about that. I mean, we think about, oh, Jesus walked on water. Yeah, well, I can't walk on water. But look at it in a metaphysical way. Like Jesus, we should, Ernest says, walk over the waves of human disturbance rather than being submerged by them. That's a big lesson. Powerful. So our science of mind teaching has nothing to do with superstition, but a lot to do with common sense and the laws of the universe and how we cooperate or not with the laws that have been proven over and over forever. And that is, we talk about here, what we think about comes about. That's the whole premise of our teaching. And I found some interesting Ernest Holmes inspiration. He says, freedom begins and ends in our consciousness. The law remains undisturbed by your hysterics. The law doesn't care. What we affirm, we become. You ever heard of the law of attraction? Cause and effect? There's nothing to fear, only love to know. There's nothing to fear, only more love or God to know. That's one of my favorites, when I forget. I always take a deep breath and I remind myself there's nothing to fear, there's only more love to know here. Again, it's a choice between love and fear. What are you choosing? What's your signal? What are you sending out? He says merely to abstain from wrong thinking is not enough. There must be active right thinking. Zing, what's your signal? Do you notice, I don't know about you, that your mind tends to drift to the not so positive? Anybody ever have that happen? No, we're good students of truth here, right? So it seems that there's an unaware part of us that wants to run the show. But again, we have the choice to stop that and to change the channel, change our frequency, change the signal. So Yogananda, another one of my teachers, has a great comparison of the human mind in terms of a radio antenna. And Yogananda says, the human mind, freed from the static of restlessness, can perform through its antenna of intuition all the functions of a complicated radio mechanism, sending and receiving thoughts and tuning out undesirable ones. As the power of a radio depends on the amount of electrical current it can utilize, so the human radio is energized according to the power of will possessed by each individual. I kind of like that idea of thinking about the signal. Again, what's your signal? And I have to tell you that to not judge yourself and not beat yourself up if you notice, wow, I'm really negative today. Because noticing what you're noticing is the first step in changing. So just to notice with compassion and curiosity. One of my teachers used to always say, just be curious. Oh, wow, I'm really pissed off, aren't I? Oh, I'm doing this or whatever it is, and just be curious about it. That's when you can start to shift it and create peace within yourself. The thing with the science is nowadays, with all the information about brain science, I mean, does anybody not know that you can change your neuroplasticity? That is such cool news. Ernest Holmes and a lot of the older mystics talked about that, and now it's becoming evidence in science itself that you can change that old pattern, old belief, old behavior that seems to be running your life. In Ho'oponopono, they talk about memory loops, that sometimes we just live our life through memory. This is the way I've always done it. I've always been angry at this, or I've blah, 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 blah. Instead of running your life from inspiration. Memory or inspiration, fear or love. It's a choice. So when we switch to, oh, I'm going to make a new choice today, you're shifting, you're creating a new neural pathway. And then you have to keep repeating that new neural pathway. It has to create a new groove. So the other one just, you lose interest in it. You don't do that anymore. It's like, oh yeah, I used to get really upset about that. Whatever, it's gone. That's why I love being a life coach as well. I do quantum processes with people that get into that subconscious core belief that's just no longer serving anymore, and we root it out and replace it with something that's going to be supportive, expansive, and loving. It's powerful work. Spiritual mind treatment does the same thing. So even if I don't do it 24/7, I know that trained thought is stronger and more powerful than untrained thought. Do you agree with that? Right. I mentioned in my little blurb some of you got that most people pick their fruits and vegetables with more care and attention than they do their thoughts. Do you spend a lot of time looking at that peach or that whatever it is, and you're touching it or, ooh, looking at it? And well, toxic thinking is as harmful to our health as toxic food, I believe. So I just invite you to, if you're really picky about what you eat, check out up here. So how do we get there? Well, for me, it's daily spiritual practice. It's daily connecting into the divine. Before I even put my feet on the floor, I'm in a prayerful mode, I'm in gratitude. Just being grateful is a huge beginning if you don't have a spiritual practice. Just being grateful. Because we want to transform ourselves to a more positive, loving, peaceful, harmonious place. I don't think any of you want to be angry and upset all the time, do you? Again, trained thought is stronger and more powerful than untrained thought. So it's not just about our thinking, it's also going into that heart. And that's why I wanted to do that meditation today. So Deepak Chopra, from his great little book, The Seven Spiritual Laws of Success, written in 1995, it was the first spiritual book I got turned on to. I had no idea what it meant, and I'm reading it now, and it's like, wow, boy, did I miss all this. And I'm teaching a class on it, as you heard, and I have a special deal today. If you sign up today, you get a discount on the price. So Deepak Chopra says, when you make any choice at all, you can ask yourself two things. First, what are the consequences of this choice that I'm making? And in your heart, you will immediately know what these are. Secondly, will this choice that I'm making now bring happiness to me and those around me? And if the answer is yes, then go ahead with that choice. If the answer is no, if that choice brings distress either to you or to those around you, then don't make that choice. It's as simple as that, he says. Again, simple. We don't need to make it so complex. There's an interesting mechanism, he says, that the universe has to help you spontaneously make a correct choice. And that has to do with sensations in your body. At the moment you consciously make a choice, pay attention to your body and ask it, if I make that choice, what happens? If your body sends you a message of comfort, that's the right choice. If your body sends a message of discomfort, it's probably not the appropriate choice. How often do we not listen to our own intuition? And he says that most people's area that they will feel is in the area of the heart, because the heart knows the correct answer. The heart will never lead you wrong. That's why I love putting my hands over my heart every day in gratitude and taking deep breaths. So I invite us this year to move forward and transform our lives by being careful what we think, to choose our thoughts wisely, because it's the most powerful thing we have. Finally, Ernest says, poverty will one day be wiped from the face of the earth, not because God will someday decide that he is ready to change conditions, but because we, cooperating with God, with nature, and with law, will proclaim an abundance that already existed. Whew. When we see abundance everywhere, there will be no poverty. War, he says, will cease. Not when God decides this for us, but when enough people know that it's no longer desirable and steadfastly maintain their position and keep in communion with the spirit within. And finally, he says, so disease will someday be wiped from the face of the earth as science, sense, and the philosophy of spiritual truth take the place of ignorance, superstition, fear, and confusion. It's possible, but we have to believe that and practice that ourselves. So I'm going to end today with a short story from the Native American tradition. An old Indian grandfather said to his grandson, who came to him with anger at a friend who had done him an injustice, "Let me tell you a story, little one. I too at times have felt a great hate for those that have taken so much, with no sorrow for what they do, but hate wears you down and does not hurt your enemy. It is like taking poison and wishing your enemy would die." Whew. I have struggled with these feelings many times, little one. Grandfather continued, it is as if there are two wolves inside of me. One is good and does no harm. He lives in harmony with all around him and does not take offense when no offense was intended. He will only fight when it is right to do so, and in the right way. He saves all his energy for the good fight, in the right way. But the other wolf, he's full of anger. The littlest thing will set him into a fit of temper. He fights everyone all the time for no reason. He cannot think because his anger and hate are so great. It is helpless anger, for his anger will change nothing. Sometimes it's hard to live with these two wolves inside me, little one, for they both of them try to dominate my spirit. Oh, the boy looked at his grandfather and into his eyes, and he asked, well, grandfather, which one wins? The grandfather smiled and quietly said, the one I feed, little one. The one I feed. Oh. So we have a choice of what we're feeding moment by moment in our lives. And as we connect with that divine essence within, we'll be guided into the right choice. We'll be guided into the right path. We'll be guided into that love and compassion. But it's up to each of us to choose for ourselves. No one can do it for you. So your assignment this week, if you so choose, is to pay closer attention to your thoughts, your words, your actions, your heart. And ask for support and guidance if you need, if you forget. Be that which you wish to see in the world. The time is now. What signal are you sending? What signal are you willing to send? Namaste.